Okay, so to return to that, after the this sort of with the non-game program, with the case with LA Water and Power, you progressively got more involved or more focused on avian biology at this point, would you say? Or
I did. So I spent 12 years as a non-game manager in Ogden, and a large portion of what we did was associated with the Great Salt Lake. During that period of time, one of the programs that started in the late 1970s was the recovery of the peregrine falcon, the demise of the use of chlorinated hydrocarbons through DDT at least in the United States and Canada, and probably still have some problems in Mexico. But anyway, and we knew that that biomagnification of that particular chemicals were on the way out. And so they started the reintroduction of peregrines, and I was the principal biologist for the reintroduction of the peregrine in the northern part of the state of Utah. Mm. So if you go around the lake, you'll still see we've disturbed the view shed by building these peregrine hack towers. Mm-hmm. So we built towers to release these birds on, and we did that for 5 years, 5 or 6 years, and since then they've been reoccupied. There's a lot of kind of biological and romantic stories about peregrines associated with the Great Salt Lake, and so I was responsible for that. These surveys we talked about earlier. We also, one of the things that LA Power asked us to do in subsequent year, couple of years, was to redo the William Bailey early colonial bird aquatic bird surveys on. Those were associated with California gulls. So I did that with a biologist that worked with me. I had, a couple of technicians and a biologist that I was responsible for. So we redid that work, found that we had increased the population from about 80,000 breeding adults when he was there doing this work to about 160,000. And so we've learned that the California gull is a cosmopolitan bird. It likes to hang around landfills. And mm-hmm. We provided an abundance of poor food, but food, around McDonald's and Arby's and whoever else has stuff on their parking lot. Beyond the resources that they use on the Great Salt Lake. So we did that work in the period of the 1980s. Then I was offered. I was asked to participate in an application process for the chief of the information education section. So I got that job. I went down and was on the director's staff for about 3.5 years, 4 years, and then they made some considerable changes in how they operated out of the with the director staff in the about 1994, and so I took a position as a wildlife biologist in the region here again with the changes they had made. They actually decided through making management decisions that they would do away with the non-game section, but they would roll up the non-game work that was aquatic and terrestrial into two sections. So for instead of having a fishery section, they had an aquatic section. Instead of having a big game or a game section, they had a wildlife section, and it pulled those programs into those different areas of responsibility. And my perspective is there's some good and there's some bad, all of that. But mm-hmm. as it turns out, I worked as a West box elder biologist, and the wildlife manager in Ogden that was my boss at the time said he knew I was interested and involved in the Great Salt Lake, and because of my involvement, continued involvement, the Great Salt Lake would be part of my responsibility. So I stayed with the program mm-hmm. that way. But it gave me a different perspective. I was involved with game as well as non-game management. I wrote the Bighorn Sheep Management Plan for Antelope Island, was involved with the transplant of those sheep from Kamloops, British Columbia to the island, and subsequent transplants have taken place out of the Newfoundland Mountains down the Stansbury and others from that population that came from that management plan that I helped prepare.